Hey there, boys and girls. This is Heidi Lee, and you are into the soup right here on KWSS 93.9. I'm back on the farm. We were talking with Tonopah Rob last weekend, and apparently I just can't get enough of this farm thing because I am a farm girl, so there you go. And for those who don't know, I grew up in Greenacres, Washington. Don't start singing the song. My rockin' radio redhead, Emily King.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. Is this like so cool or what?
This is awesome. And I was kind of surprised about the location, to be honest. When I was driving out here, I'm like, wait, this is the wrong direction.
Yeah. I mean, I GPSed it. It told me it was going to take me 50 minutes. I made it here in 30 and I didn't get a ticket.
Oh, good job.
I know. So we're on 6.5 acres at 26th Street, just south of Southern. And this guy, Kurt Granstrom, is somewhat of a revolutionary and a very passionate individual. We just walked the property and looked at some of the things that he's doing, and he's going to join us to talk about that, as is Peyton Curry. He is my king of cannabis concoctions, and he has got a lot of fascinating information to share with us. And we also have a new friend, J.D. Hill with Recycled City. So you guys, we're going to talk all about dirt and worms and compost and food.
That's going to be great.
Food that feeds you.
Food that nourishes the soul.
Yes.
And the body.
And the body. And the things that Peyton is doing that are very, very admirable with medicinal marijuana. And I want to ask him about, we got a lot of questions to ask him, but I want to talk to him about the people that he's helped, what inspires him to continue doing this, because it isn't easy. It's not an easy profession. There are loops, there are obstacles, there are lots of things that you have to jump through in order to pursue his passion. And I think it's really cool. And I haven't seen him for like 2 years. So we're going to have a good time. His hair's gotten longer.
Yeah, it has. I was like, is that the same guy? I had to have someone come out and guide me.
I know.
Because we're a little bit hidden. You're not going to be able to find it.
It is a little bit hidden. It's got that big freaking sign that says, beware of dog. And I'm like, okay, how big is this dog going to be? Because.
And then there was Peyton.
I want to point out something I went and did. So we're gonna go sideways here just for a little bit.
Sure.
I went to this funky new joint up in Carefree Saturday night. It's called the Speakeasy, and it's on Easy Street.
Excellent.
Have you heard of that street up there? I didn't even know where anything was.
But how funky was it?
It was, oh my gosh, it was so amazing. And this friend of mine knew the band that was playing, and it was a jazz duo called Flavor, F-L-A-V-O-U-R.
Oh, how very continental.
I know, but a lot of their album titles are like, Hungry for More, and a lot of their songs are based after foods. So I'm like, okay, I got to have these guys on. And it was the most amazing music. I was like, you know, jumping up and down in my chair and pointing.
Maybe we can get some of their jams for our bumper music.
Oh, I already have 2 CDs from them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they were really excited. And I was just like, you guys are so interesting. And yes, we are food, but what they had was so special to me that I really want to help them and help promote them.
Well, I like to think of us as food and kind of just local
whatever
culture.
The hell else.
Local business, local entertainers. We're all about local.
Yes, we are. And the restaurant that was there, the Speakeasy, was had a fascinating menu. Great wine selection, great craft cocktails, and just one of those venues that I haven't seen being 52 years old for a very, very long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out.
You will. And it was great. I really loved it. The other day was National Wine Drinking Day. I'm just like, what, one day?
There's just one. How did you find out about that?
My girlfriend texted it for me in a group text.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, you know, with a big old glass of wine, what are you doing today? And I'm like, hell, I'm starting tonight. And yesterday and the day before that.
Just kind of an ongoing appreciation.
Yeah. And I just wanted to, I was thinking about this and coming out here because I really had no idea what to expect. And it's beyond my wildest dreams. I'm so happy to be here. And
there's a lot going on, but you also see a lot of potential. And
yes.
I think that's pretty cool. There's some really interesting buildings out here. They're doing a lot of recycling of materials. And so it'll be really interesting to talk to them about that.
And repurposing.
Right.
Which is my soup of the week is a repurposed soup.
Awesome.
I made it yesterday. It's really fun.
Is it weenie water soup?
Nope.
That's my favorite.
Pork butt soup.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's actually really good. Sammy and I ate it last night. I'd like to thank Arizona Culinary Institute for their generous support. There's lots of stuff going on at school, and we've got a lot of events coming up that we'll tell you about in our fourth segment. A new group of recruits started last Monday, and a class finished up last Friday. So it's always fun to see them finish because all you want to do is finish when you're there. It's like, I really love
this. Isn't
that
all anybody ever wants?
I know, just to finish in lots of different ways. Okay, so we've got a great show for you. I'm very excited about this, and I will try to slow my voice down because once I get excited, I talk a blue streak. So this is Heidi Lee. You're Into the Soup. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Back to Into the Soup. I'm your host, Heidi Lee, and I'm here with my rock and radio redhead, Emma King.
Present.
Is this so cool? Okay, we are on
so cool.
We are on a deck outside a trailer on 6.5 acres in South Bend.
It's pretty groovy.
It's totally groovy. I had no idea what to expect. Sorry, first day with my new lips. And so now I'm just so over the top excited. So we're going to welcome to the show Kurt Granstrom.
Hello, hello.
Hey, there you go. And you're with Phoenix Greens. Is that what we're going to call it today?
Phoenix Greens.
Okay.
Yes.
And we also have JD Hill from Recycled City, right?
Yep.
What's your website?
Recycledcity.com.
That's easy. That's easy to remember. And we also have Peyton Curry. Hi, Peyton.
Hi. Emphasis on hi.
Hi. Good.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. It's been a long time.
It has. It has. It's been about 2.5 years, if I remember correctly.
Something like that. I actually went to a place, establishment of yours, for dinner one night. And you were there, remember?
Yes.
Yes.
I do. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Wow.
Yeah. It was when I was doing that POF stuff.
Yep. 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 That's good. That's good. I love that.
No, not anymore.
Good times. Good times there.
It was a lot of fun. So what we want to focus on right now, we're going to talk with JD and Kurt about what you guys are doing individually and together. So since the mic's in front of JD, I understand from looking at your website, so understand that we just found out that we were going to do this show last night at about 6 p.m. So Emily and I are pretty much pulling this out of our ass. So if I miss something, please make sure to, you know, pipe in and do it. So you take empty bins and deposit them wherever you might get leftover produce. And then it sits for a week, and you come and pick it up, and then leave another empty bin, and then you take all of that back and make what?
Compost.
Compost. Tell everybody what compost is, because some might not know.
Compost is decomposed organic matter. Okay. So organic matter is really anything that used to be alive. It can be food waste. It could be tree limb. It could be a paper napkin. Hair. And we can turn all that into a valuable resource called compost, which is used to fertilize farmland and grow really nutritious crops.
And it's a living thing, compost.
Yeah, compost has a really high content of microbial activity.
And is this something you studied, or did you just turn around and go, yeah, you know what, I want to pick up a bunch of, you know, old food and turn it into something cool?
Yeah, I studied finance at W.P. Carey School of Business at ASU.
Okay.
And then I got a sustainable business degree from the School of Sustainability.
And is that here as well?
Yeah, it's at ASU. ASU started the first school of sustainability in the country.
I didn't know. How long has it been up and running, this School of Sustainability?
Started in 2008.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Wow. They do lots of fun stuff over there at Arizona State. Okay. They really do. So when you got that, did you have as a goal in your mind to do what you're doing right now with Recycled City, or did it kind of morph?
It morphed. It was all through the course material that we had to go through, and you learned a lot. I learned a lot about the world.
Okay.
And and, I want to do.
And growing food.
Yeah.
Growing food that's actually healthy, nutritious food. Mm-hmm. Very cool. So let's go over to Kurt here for a minute. Go ahead and flip that mic, buddy. You got it. And so tell me all about you and what you do.
Well, I came across JD in the local farmer's market world originally. Someone from Recycled City came by. I was selling plant starts at the Scottsdale Farmer's Market. And it lit a spark with me because 6 months before that, I was sitting around a table with four other people trying to figure out how to start a company that was doing exactly what he was doing.
Oh, so, wow.
Right off the bat, I was very interested in what he was doing. What I do, I kind of, on Facebook, you mentioned Aquanautic Gardens, which was my aquaponic adventures.
Okay.
I kind of call what I do practiculture.
Oh, that's a good word.
Do what you can, where you're at, with what you've got. It's that simple. And I've been doing it on a small scale for several years. And in the past 6 months, got the opportunity to expand it out here on this property. And I just absolutely jumped at it just because of the sheer amount of stuff around that I can build stuff with for free.
And repurpose.
Repurpose and reuse.
So not to sound like a diss, but it's like a junkyard. But you look at it, it's like a junkyard full of gems.
Yeah, and it's like this Rubik's Cube that my brain loves to play with and assemble and develop. And when I wake up in the morning, I'm just blissful. And,
oh, that's so cool.
That kind of was the whole point of this more than anything.
So when you look at what you're doing, though, and you look at the possibilities of all the stuff around you and all the ideas that you must have in your head, do you have to have, like, a prioritized sheet of things? And it's like, okay, today I have to do this. Don't go over here, you know. Yeah,
yes and no. That's the thing with plants is they're not machines. They're little living beings. So when you start introducing hundreds of them in the environment around you, they tend to tell you what you need to do and don't need to do. And you kind of, they're like children, literally. You prioritize things after that. So first and foremost, you keep the soil happy, which keeps the plants happy, and everything else kind of revolves around that.
Did it take, and you can jump in anytime, JD. I know you guys are sharing a mic, so it's kind of tough, but did it take a lot of testing, especially for you, to get this idea up and running? And so how long did it take for you to develop it? And number two, how long did it, because I saw how many establishments are giving you their stuff. Mm-hmm. And so did it take much selling, or did they jump on board?
Well, I started with residential business.
Oh, so, you did? Okay.
Yep. So we have over 500 residential, single family homes, condos, apartments that we service.
Wow.
And then the restaurants has been a little bit more difficult, but not too hard.
So what's your, not to go straight to money, because we all have to pay our bills. What's your revenue model for the thing from getting it from the residents? Because if you have 500 people that you're servicing on what, like a monthly or a bi-monthly basis?
Yeah, we have three different plans. We have a once a week where we come every week.
Okay.
We have a every other week where we come once every 2 weeks. And then we even have a once a month. So we have a service plan that can service absolutely anybody. Doesn't matter how much you eat out. Doesn't matter how little of waste you produce. We have a plan that fit everyone.
And so in exchange for their garbage, do they get a box of food?
So we weigh their compost bin when we pick it up.
Okay.
And then there's a conversion ratio. If you go onto Google and you type in how much food waste turns into how much soil, they're going to tell you 70 pounds of food waste turns into 1 cubic foot of soil. So that's the ratio we use so we give you all the compost back. So for your garden. And then if you don't want the compost back, we don't sell it. So we sell absolutely zero compost. So we're building farmland with 100% of what we collect and turn into compost, either at your house for your garden or at one of three farms here in South Phoenix.
So basically you are creating gardeners. I mean, people might have had a garden. But even still, I grew up on a farm, and I tried to do a compost. I got the compost bin and everything in my, little suburbia rural house over in Glendale, and it didn't work. You know, you had to turn it, and I was just like, wow, this is a lot, and I was getting critters and that kind of thing.
So we make doing the right thing really convenient. because you get a sanitized bin every single week. It has a paper bag liner in the inside of it, airtight lid, and we even give you an odor preventer to prevent odor in your bin throughout the week or between pickups. So we've just made it super, super easy. You can throw absolutely any food waste item in
the bin. Any food waste, even protein?
Any food waste item. You can't mess it up. So you don't have to be worried about, you know, scraping half the plate into the trash and half the plate.
So my leftover scrambled eggs and some hash browns and a piece of toast can go into my compost bin that you provide me.
Yep, and those eggshells before you made the scrambles.
your
napkin that you use to...
Well, that's fascinating. Yeah. So I want to go over to Kurt. How do you guys work together? Tell me what that symbiotic relationship is.
What I was just going to say is the best thing about his odor preventer is it's microbes that initially start the whole process that the green waste needs to go through
to decompose.
Okay. But beyond that, when you once you're in that process and it's decomposing and it's turning into soil, and then you blend it with a couple of other things, it's the motor, it's the engine, it's what drives beyond just breaking down of the green waste, the soil health, where you're putting it after the fact. And it's that diversity, the microbial life, carbon and nitrogen and ammonia, and having all those things in the ground, it starts to make its own fertilizer.
Okay.
And that's when you get into permaculture, where you get to a point after a year or 2 years of building the soil where you're using much less water. Your nutrients are there, and you're mulching. You're throwing some organic matter on top to help, you know, retain moisture, but suddenly you're working with rather than against. You're not fighting against, which a lot of Arizona agriculture is just fighting against the intense heat.
And the deterioration of the soil itself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly.
Peyton, do you want to say anything about this? Because I want to throw you in because I know you have.
Well, the thing that I love the most about what these guys are doing is, you know, I promote consuming living cannabis.
Right.
Non-psychoactive forms of cannabis that don't, you know, throw you under the table. But that starts with living soil. And for me to go into the homes of families with children with epilepsy and helping some people with lupus.
Absolutely.
And now we're talking of it as a medicine instead of as a vegetable. But, you know, going into the homes and helping with cannabis therapy, I would be the biggest fraud as a cook coming into their home with garbage cannabis.
Right.
And for us, you know, we're using the root ball system of our cannabis plants, and we're actually extracting a form of sugar out of that doesn't affect the glycemic level of diabetics.
Wow.
But I would be a fraud if I didn't have this.
Okay.
If I'm growing hydroponically, I'm not getting those same nutrient structures out of that plant. And this is going into a far further conversation.
Right.
But getting back at it, you know, for me as a cook or for me as someone that promotes cannabis therapy, I need these guys. And I need the things that you're seeing out here at the farms firsthand sometimes in Arizona. I need these things to be everyday knowledge for people. Because they're building soil. They're not just making food.
They're not just taking something, depleting it, throwing it away, and going to find more dirt.
So in cannabis, we use the same thing. We use living soil because, as they just stated, it has better hydration, has better nutrient quality, and it also provides us with a denser crop. You know.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
us
absolutely.
Using living soil, we get 2.58 pounds per light growing organically. If you grow synthetically, you're getting about 1.9.
So let me ask you guys this. You might know the answer to it. So if you compare nutrient dense, it's that catchphrase, right? The nutrient density of the product that you grow, let's say kale. We tasted your kale. As opposed to something that you're going to get from a corporate farm, what's the difference? Is there a ratio? Is there a percentage difference? So I've got a pound of kale that I get from you as opposed to a pound of kale that I buy at my local grocery store.
Here's the first starting point that makes the conversation even difficult to have.
Really? Sorry.
when you pick kale and you snip kale and you put it in the refrigerator, the nutrient content isn't static. As it ages, the enzymes, the live things that make,
the makeup, the atomic makeup. Well, that's the right word. I don't know.
Phytonutrients,
okay.
The things that are alive, the chlorophyll, all the things that your body absorbs, the terpenes, Mrs. Burns' lemon basil, there are all sorts of things that have molecules that your body is absorbing, and once they're cut, they begin to degrade.
Okay.
And so the nutrient value, the vitamins, the protein content of spinach after it's been picked for 7 days is not the same.
Do you know what that rate would be?
But basically you're saying is if it gets picked over in Salinas Valley, goes through whatever processes has to go through, gets on a truck, comes here.
Not as nutritious.
By the time it gets here, it's degraded far beyond.
I'm honestly curious about that, though.
Losing nutrient density. So what one of the things that Maricopa County requires of a restaurant is that things are cut from their roots.
Okay.
So you're harvesting things. When we're working in a CSA, we're able to provide food with root on to where it's still alive.
Okay.
It's alive in your refrigerator.
Wow, that's cool.
It changes everything.
Sure.
And that's when you get to true nutrient density. The problem with trying to quantitate exactly what is nutrient values are depending on what day and as it degrades, the first problem you get into is how they even assess the nutrient value, because some of the gas chromatography they use to assess nutrient value destroys the enzymes that you would be wanting to test for. So there's all sorts of...
So you're totally battling yourself, actually.
No, okay. And ultimately, the supermarket industry doesn't want people to talk about that. They want
of
to talk about
not.
How safe all the food is.
Right, and how cheap it is, because it's on sale Wednesday.
It's understandable
Saturday.
That cheap and safe, they're ideal goals, but they've driven our produce systems in a very...
Yes.
Very horrible direction.
It's kind of upside down. Peyton, did you have something? Okay, wait. Emily's telling me we need to take a quick break. Are you going to stick around for a while, JD? Can you be here for a bit? Okay. So this is really exciting, and I'm so glad to be here. This is Into the Soup. We'll be right back. It's been a long night here and a long
night there. And these long, long legs. Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Heidi Lee. Welcome back to Into the Soup. Our Soup of the Week is brought to you by Arizona Culinary Institute, where passion becomes profession. ACI is now enrolling for all programs. The next start date for day classes is April 4th, and every 6 weeks after that, the next night classes start April 11th. It's free to apply, so you can visit azculinary.edu or call 480-603-1066. We have an open house coming up for prospective students, and that is going to be March 12th. It's a Saturday from 9 to noon. You can come in and meet the instructors. Yours truly will be there. And they have just lots of fun things to share. So if you have what it takes, they've got what you need, Arizona Culinary Institute. So talking about repurposing things, the soup of the week is called pork butt soup, and I made it. So I actually did a pork butt in the crock pot with all sorts of, you know, cilantro and garlic and tomatillos.
Oh, that's
and,
my favorite.
You love that, right?
Yeah.
And roasted, and I did a squash, and I did poblano peppers that were roasted, and I've been making this for quite some time now. And so Sammy got kind of sick. Sammy's my daughter, got kind of sick of pork sandwiches to take to school, so I made it into soup last night. And we added back the squash that we prepared. We put a can of beer in it, a little more chipotle, and some chicken broth, and just let it sit there and stew away for about 2 hours, and it's like out of this world soup. Unbelievable. I wish I had some of the fresh produce that you guys are putting together.
Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, looking good. So we are back with J.D. Hill of Recycled City and Kurt Granstrom of Phoenix Greens and Peyton Curry of Peyton Curry. So let's...
I like that a lot. I really like that
I really
that
wish
fits.
You guys had some smell-o-vision going on here.
Oh, the smell-o-vision. Yes, these are some organics here. Speaking of vegetable matter, this is some Arizona-grown Jaeger Kush. This is a 14% THC, 14% CBD. And we're going to talk about this kind of stuff throughout the day. And the reason why we wanted to bring some of these Arizona organics out here and kind of enjoy them out at the farm is because this is a form of cannabis that isn't going to throw you into a state of psychosis where you're going to be paranoid and be, oh, my goodness, I'm so medicated, I can't go out in public.
I think that's the one thing that scares people the Absolutely. Most is the paranoia. It's like, wow, you know, whenever I get high, if I'm in this state of mind, that it only emphasizes it and makes me feel more freaked out.
So we go, Peyton Curry of Peyton Curry, we go we go across the country and we give cannabis therapy lessons. Classes where we can go in. And we can help families lay off the Prozac and the white wine a little bit and help them understand cannabis. And I'm not going to call it marijuana because I don't support propaganda.
Okay. And, you know, I actually want to go to this before I forget, because you mentioned earlier that you actually have suppositories for women who have, like, intense cramping or, you know, and just, I mean, life sucks when that's going on for you.
So this is a vaginal suppository that is made of all organic vegetable matter. And it is something that the at-home user can apply at home. And you don't have to go to the doctor. You don't have to get a three-hour pass from your boss so that you can go sit in a waiting room and then get a subscription, as I call it. It's not even a prescription anymore.
You're right.
Know? And for us, we can go in and we can safely educate the home consumer of cannabis on how to use these things at home.
Well, and they talk about, it's a pretty well-known phrase. That
but not him personally.
Right, yeah. pharmaceutical companies don't cure patients. They create clients.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a profit structure, you know. And we talk about, how do you make money? You know, my wife... asked me about 2 weeks ago. This is after I quit my corporate job and walked away from all that, which we have plenty of time to talk about. She said to me, she said, why, when are we ever going to make money off of this? Because we give away tincture to children in Arizona to help them rid themselves of seizures. And yes, my name is Peyton Curry. I feed cannabis to children. But we do it following state guidelines.
Right.
We do it following everything that the state of Arizona has put in place for us. And what's next is putting in place those same guidelines and regulations for the growers.
Right.
Like these two here. We need great soil, living soil, before we need living plants. It's that simple.
So are you guys, JD, are you guys getting support from the government? Because I know that you just contracted with the city of Phoenix to do something, right? What was that?
Yep. City of Phoenix is going to have us do the compost collection at City Hall, Calvin Good, and then firehouses to start. And then we're going to move into more city facilities like the convention center or human services department.
That's great. Are you the only organization here that's doing what you're doing?
We're the only ones that do residential.
Okay.
There's Sonoran Waste Disposal. They're a larger industrial composter collector.
Okay.
So they're going to be doing large-scale collection. They're driving around with garbage trucks.
Right. How do you pick these things up? Do you have an old Ford or?
Yeah, I got an old Chevy flatbed.
At least it's American-made.
You're right on.
So, I mean, seriously, is that how you pick these up?
Yeah. So, Whoa. Restaurants, we service them in 55-gallon drums.
Okay.
And then we just hydraulic lift gate onto the truck and leave a clean.
So, you're saying we. Who's we? How many people do you have working with you?
Four. We have four employees.
Okay. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You love it?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. What would you like to see? So, if you could look into the future, let's say 10 years, because things move kind of slow. What would you like to see here in Arizona as far as the use of your product and what you think it can do?
So what I'm trying to do is build a full circle food system.
Okay.
So where the food waste, instead of it going to the landfill, it's going to go to a farm. It's going to get turned into compost. It's going to go into the farming operation. And then that food is going to be sold to our customers. So it's going to be sold directly back to the restaurants, to the residents. And we're already doing it. Here at this farm.
Okay.
So we're collecting the compost, we're composting the garden beds, Kurt's growing all the food, and then the food's going straight back to our residential customers. Shows up at your door with your compost bucket. You can leave a cooler outside your door. We'll put the bag in your cooler so right. the produce stays fresh.
Yeah, that's great. I'm happy for you. That's really cool. Okay, someone help me with a question here because I'm kind of drawing a blank.
Well, I've
used a lot of big words this morning, and
I'd like to
expand
a little bit on what JD was saying.
Okay.
The wheel, getting the wheel turning is kind of the whole point of this, and capturing the food waste that comes back, utilizing it not just for building compost, but also vermiculture. We can grow earthworms. We can grow black soldier fly larvae, which then becomes part of the food chain. So
okay.
now suddenly you have something that you can feed to the chickens along with the food waste and make eggs. And so we've got an egg product that's now being made with streams that are waste.
Yeah.
Once we have vermiculture, we also have food for fish. Once we have fish, then we have nutrients to grow greens. We can make nitrates. We can do aquaponics.
Right.
We can use the nitrogen as a component in the composting. It's the fuel that fuels the whole compost process. So if we're bringing in content that's high in carbon, we can add nitrogen that we're making with the fish. And
right.
the fish are eating the stuff that we're making with the green waste. And suddenly you can start pushing that wheel on a few different spokes. And it's literally like a merry-go-round coming around. The more you push it, you
right.
can get it spinning. And
I feel like I'm in Lion King. You know, the circle of life. It's like, wow.
You
have the song down and everything.
I don't remember what documentary it was, but there was something that made complete sense to me that finally somebody broke it down to the point that the problem with agriculture in America is we have 300 corporations trying to grow food for 300 million people. When what we need are 3 million farmers trying to grow food for 300 people.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, you can solve all of these problems very quickly.
Well,
it just takes effort.
It takes effort, and it takes grassroots, and it takes all sorts of things that take a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And that's the most frustrating thing. So the only thing that you guys can really do, including you, Peyton, and what you do, is you hit every day. Say, what can I do, and what can make a difference that needs
right
to make a difference right now?
Right now. And
yeah.
that's where Kurt's going. You become the 1%. If you're the 300 million eating from the 3 million, you become the 1% of the 100 or one out of the 100 that you are now relying on for this part of the wheel, right?
Yeah.
So coming through it and going through and being aware of how much you are throwing in your trash every day that's food waste that isn't even going to turn into soil because it's being lined between plastics and you're going through this biodegradable, as they call it, over what time period, whoever knows.
Right.
But this, you are getting that wheel into momentum. We are the momentum. When you are that 1%, you are momentum because now you rely on your neighbor. Oh my gosh, now we're 2%. Now I'm one of 50. Right? And you go through that and all of a sudden you become one of the community.
Yeah,
and that's the thing where medicinal cannabis and living soil and also breathing community really comes together and works
right.
off of itself. Which is scary.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this, and I'm going to pop over to JD for a second, because do you think that, I mean, I feel guilty. I throw out, I need a bin. Basically.
I was just going to say that.
I was like,
I'm feeling
right
a lot
now.
Of remorse about the banana peel.
God damn it. But you have to, we're all about transparency here at Into the Soup. But people thinking, oh God, they see how much I waste. Well, you're going to do it anyway. You might as well take it and make it something decent. It's like, you know, mm-hmm. putting your... When we lived in Singapore, we had, like, recycle pickup, like, once a week, and they just had these open things. And I looked down there one day, and I asked my helper, I'm like, can you put that out? Because it was full of booze bottles. I'm like,
yes.
Can you put it out once a week? And she looks at me. She's Filipina, and she goes, you embarrassed? A little.
That's hilarious.
So I just tell people, it's not about being, you know, I mean, stupid. It's like, just if you're going to throw it someplace good.
Right. Yeah. And we've made it really convenient. And the number one reason why someone signs up for our residential service is because it feels good.
Okay.
It's an experience that you get to have a few times a day that's positive instead of that subconscious thought when you throw something into the trash and you go, well, that doesn't make any sense. And you go around, you go, you know.
Yeah, and you stuff all your recyclables
day.
In on top of it, and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
make no distinction.
Well, it gives you a chance to soil yourself and feel good and feel good about it. And you can feel good about it. You know, you can soil yourself and feel good about it. You know,
that's right.
That's hilarious.
When I started composting on a large scale in my backyard about 5 or 6 years ago with a household of 7 people, I saw our waste stream that was going out to the curb drop by like 70%. Like, it's amazing how much. And then it also, if you're a bit more conscious of what you're buying and what the packaging is that it's in, all of a sudden, all these landfills and trucks driving around, you can decrease what they need to do by 70%.
Okay, so wouldn't this work then? Why couldn't the city bill us for the amount of weight of waste we put out on the side of the road?
They do it in Germany, yes.
Well, yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. All of a sudden, wow.
I always thought that. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I've got a family of 2 here.
There's an incentive,
exactly. And you've got 6. So it's like, why do I have to pay for processing all of your crap when I don't even have a tenth of that? I think we could get it going. I think we should do a shirt. What do you think, Peyton?
I'm in.
I'm definitely in.
The City of Phoenix is okay, looking at some green waste projects. There are some things that are developing and some things that are changing. But it's still very much driven by composting and safe composting locations. Fire hazard is one of the big things you hear about most in compost areas that are no longer composting.
Well, it creates a lot of gas, right? I mean, I was isn't methane
spontaneous combustion, right?
Yeah, happens all the time.
It's high. It's
happened
it's
in my
high
car.
Heat. When you take carbon and you heat it up to 180 degrees, it increases its flammability a little
bit. I bet it does. Okay, so we need to take a break. Can you stay or do you need to head out? He's going to stay. Check it out. He didn't have a meeting. That was just his backup to ditch me if he wasn't having any fun. I know you guys.
He's like, oh, no, I just got the text.
You guys it's from fine. Wisconsin. My mom's on the phone. Okay, you are into the soup. What a great show. I love my job. This is Heidi Lee, KWSS 93.9.
Blue is my favorite color. What's yours?
What's yours?
Red is my favorite color. What's yours?
What's yours?
Well, yeller's sweller for this little feller.
And me, I'm keen on green.
So what's your favorite color? Tell us, please.
Kids will spend 20 minutes listening to songs like
what's
this.
What's your favorite color? Tell us, please. What's your favorite color? What's your favorite color? What's your favorite color? What's your favorite?
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes twice a day. They have the time. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
Hello, Emily.
Hello.
Hasn't this been fun?
Great.
I know.
And very educational.
Yeah, so I think we caught all 3 E's. Entertain, educate, and engage. I think we're there.
Indeed.
And it can only get better from here.
And we have a couple more segments. So
we do?
Sit tight.
Yay. Okay. So the weekly Wet Your Whistle, we'd like to tip our hats to Local First Arizona. Shift 10% of your spending to a locally owned business and support our community and our economy. The Weekly Wet is from about 5 years ago this time of year, and you came up with
a... We're recycling. That's so fitting.
It kind of works, doesn't it? Because we're in, like, citrus season, so you came up with, like, some amazing limoncello recipe.
I don't remember this at all.
And you can find it at IntoTheSoup.com. Oh, he didn't know. We'll get him next time.
We forgot to tell him.
Okay, before we finish here, I have got to do some PSAs and tell you what's all going on. Okay, I did mention before, Arizona Culinary Institute has an open house on March 12th. Come by and see us. You need to go to azculinary.edu to RSV for it, but we'd love to see you, and I will be there too. They also have a wine flight school on March 16th. I've been to like 3 of these, and they're They're so fantastic. The menus online.
Wait, so these are recurring?
Yeah.
I feel like you've said this like 1,000 times.
No, they have them once a month.
Like, is that ever going to happen?
You didn't pay attention every to week. The dates? God. No, this one's March 16th. Okay, and then we have Tonopah Rob out in
Buckeye.
Welcome
back, Kurt.
Yo, welcome back, Kurt. Yeah.
Thank you. You're
Tonopah Rob's on March 19th. Tickets are $75, and you, Mom, will be a beneficiary of that. All of this is on IntoTheSoup.com.
Oh, we even gave him warning.
I know. That's all right.
You did the hand flail.
So I think we should actually start this movement of being billed according to weight of our trash.
I'm in.
Okay, let's get a T-shirt set. Am, you come up with
the tagline. The T-shirt's going to say it's a bunch of rubbish.
Done.
Done? Perfect.
Snap. My deadline.
I think it's great. So if you just tuned in or you simply forgot who was here, we have J.D. Hill from Recycled City, and we have Kurt Granstrom from Phoenix Greens, and we have Peyton Curry of Peyton Curry.
The Gemini in me loves that. That's perfect.
What is that? I have no clue what you're talking about.
Are you the actual Peyton Curry? Or are you the Peyton J. Curry fake Facebook page?
Ooh, that's a good question. You should check out both, and you can decide.
And you decide. We'll make sure and get some good pictures.
Strain
today.
Yourself on that decision.
We'll date and time them so everybody knows it's exactly today.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Well put.
Before I forget, I had written this down because I know you'll come up with something absolutely spectacular. Is there one instance or one person that you helped or, I mean, anywhere along that warm and fuzzy line that either inspired you more, made you shed a tear, whatever you needed? What do you think?
Yeah. There's a Mormon family out in Mesa, which I have a shirt for that, too. It's called Legalize Mesa Wanna. I moved to Mesa. I'm the guy that lives in the middle of Mormon land, and
isn't a Mormon.
I work in Mesa.
Yeah, hey. And I'm not a Mormon, but I'm a great neighbor. The only thing I grow at home is a family and compost, thanks to Kurt, which my compost pile is now 2 month birthday coming up this weekend.
Your compost pile has a birthday?
Yeah, of course.
Oh well.
You should see her. She's hot.
She's growing up so fast.
She's growing up so fast.
I don't know where the time goes.
So. Wasn't 2 months in compost more like, you know, 8 years in human life? And so when they get to 6 months, they're really about 60?
60, that's true. She's looking a little older because she's holding a bit of water, but that's just a little joke. So back to reality here. There's a Mormon family that I met in the grocery store. I was buying... avocado oil, which is what I use to make a tincture, which is just simply a cannabis-infused liquid that we're giving away to the Weed for Warriors project, where I give away liters of cannabis oil to help war vets that have PTSD,
nice.
Don't want to go on pharmaceuticals, or as I call them, harmaceuticals. And we get them to stay away from that through conversation, through community, and through cannabis therapy. And the cashier had asked me, she says, what are you doing with all this fat? And
fat?
Said, bless your heart, because she knows that it's fat. And to me, it's like, well, it's a lipid structure that contains, you know. So I answered the question, and my answer was, I feed cannabis to my community, you know. And I'm honest with people, because I can't go out there on TV, dun, dun, dun. It's commercial time.
It's telling me I have
And it's her show.
My daughter jacked my phone and put that on there. I had to leave it. I'm just like, okay, wait.
Da-da-da-da. So the cashier asked me, I answer the question, of course, as every human being would answer, why make edibles for a living and tinctures? So the woman behind her who was checking out in line turned around and gave me this look that I've seen a few times, and it always comes from mothers with sick children. She waited for me at the grocery store, at the door to leave, and I came around the corner, and there she was. And I thought, this woman is either going to scream at me, or we're going to have a really great hug. And thankfully, it ended up being a really great hug. She has a 12-year-old daughter named Savannah who has Dravet syndrome. She has hundreds of seizures a day. She's been using medicinal cannabis in an ineffective manner because that's what an MD and PhD doctor told her to do. Was to use this marijuana raw and to feed it to her, just like these carrot greens, to her daughter. Which, as we just talked about, that's a vegetable.
Right.
This is vegetable qualities to it until we apply heat to it. The minute you apply heat to it, it changes it to a medicine. because that converts THCA, Google it,
thank you.
To THC. Google that too. THCA to THC conversion. And you can see that THCA, which is non-psychoactive, is very beneficial, but not to a 12-year-old whose endocrine system is so out of whack that she needs medicine from cannabis, which is called endocannabinoid structure. So there's a lot of big words there. Rewind, Google, rewind, Google. Because for me as a cook, I had to do all this to learn all this stuff. And when I was able to sit down with the family, with a daughter, as my eyes get all choked up, and watch the mom tell me, so I've been feeding my daughter the version of kale of marijuana for the last 4 months. Thousands of dollars spent because of the ignorance of Western medicine. Because a dispensary doctor here in Arizona told this woman to go home and feed her 12-year-old daughter raw marijuana, which would do nothing. I could eat all these joints. This is my packed lunch, as I call it. I could eat all these rolled joints and nothing would happen to me at all because it's non-psychoactive. It's THCA. The minute we apply heat to it, which is this lighter, the minute that it converts to THC. So I knew So for me to go in there as a cook, I went, oh my goodness, my job here is easy. All I have to do is make better soup. I just have to convert it from THCA to THC. Within 24 hours, I get a text message from the mother. I can see my daughter coming alive before my eyes. The seizures have stopped. This is a Mormon family in Mesa, Arizona, that I had to meet at a farmer's market. Or Sprouts, they call themselves a farmer's market. I had to research that, right? So here we are now able to talk about it on the radio in a manner that we're not sitting here doing bong rips and we're not sitting here eating Cheetos.
Right.
But let's talk about the munchies a little bit, because to a cancer patient or somebody that's coming back from some chemo, they're going to need to get some munchies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So absolutely. There's your munchies. Nutrition. Exactly.
Heals the body.
So, Kurt, what's your thing to see aside from the cycle of life? Just for maybe even just for you personally. Because it's a pretty personal thing being a farmer. Not as is being a chef or a cook. Did I stump you?
No, I think that the biggest thing that's driven my quest to find what I'm supposed to wake up and do every day has been just the grounding of having two children. The grounding and making some decisions that make it much easier for me to, first and foremost, I'm not selling this being a part of their lives for this segment of their lives for anything. I treasure taking them to school and picking them up from school. And it's very important to me for the next 10 years to just find a way to coexist growing food and being as big of a part of their lives as possible. And that's my mission. And I'm finally getting closer to actually executing it. It actually being
congratulations.
That way.
That's a pretty good mission. That's a great mission.
It makes it easy to make decisions.
I get that. I totally get that. The decision-making thing. And sometimes that's a huge weight. If you are the decision maker in everything, which I am, I'm a mom and I have several businesses and I do this. And so when you get the opportunity for someone to just take that decision-making process away, it's like a little vacation in your head. And I think living the lifestyle that you're doing, that decision-making is not difficult anymore, is really quite appealing. Mm. You know? Mm. What do you see, Peyton? You in know, 10 years, you know, something either being, for you, you know, not necessarily personally, but something objectively along our little line of genre that we're at.
You know, I eventually see the ability for me as a restaurant partner, investor in restaurants, the ability for me to call JD and say, hey, man, bring me a bin in any state that I'm in any county that I'm in without having to pay a variance. Because the health department's going to want to come into my walk-in and ask me why I have garbage in a bin in my walk-in. And if I have it outside, they're going to ask me why I haven't throw my trash away.
Right.
Because ignorance is this. There's your another shirt for you.
doesn't have a picture of?
Yeah, it's the U.S. government with a finger pointing up. You can pick the finger. So for me to be able to call him as a small business owner and rightfully have him come my way without having to have a variance. For the Brathouse, we have 7 variances. One for sauerkraut. One for making bacon.
Yeah,
this
those
is
are
all food.
Pain in the butt.
It's all food.
I know.
But why? Because we had to set up plans to get over ignorance by setting procedures in motion.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's like when I told you guys before, I don't think we were on the air, and I said, Into the Soup is about supporting the culinary arts so dining doesn't go the way of Walmart. And I think that is such an over-expansive but such a direct hit mm-hmm. on what's happening in America with small businesses not being able to cut it.
Yep. And you'll be run out if you'll allow it. I always tell people, in the creative self, all you need is money, and there's plenty of money out there to fund your creative self. So go out there and get it.
Do what you love.
Go get it. You know, whether it's composting, whether it's making soil, or making a child have a childhood instead of a subscription to Western medicine, whatever it is that you do, go get it.
Yeah, no, I agree wholeheartedly. What do you got to say about that? Because you haven't heard from me. If I'm missing you, I'm kind of having a withdrawal.
I know. I'm just paying attention.
Because otherwise I don't.
Well, I think a big part of the discussion is, from a like a Maricopa County standpoint, is the fear of microbes versus understanding what microbes actually are and understanding that we are microbes.
Right.
If you break down the number of cells in your body, quantity of cells that have your DNA, there are 10 times more microbes than that make up your body. We
right.
are walking microbes.
Yep. Well, it makes a lot of sense. That circle of life, right?
You know, the food from a food safety standpoint, when microbes go bad, it's horrible. Yes, things can happen, but microbes aren't the enemy. And too often from a food perspective, some of the regulations that really hamper small-scale agriculture because of an obsession with food safety.
Yes, I think you're right. We have to wrap up fairly shortly, so I'm going to make sure to go around in a circle one more time. Okay, so let's start with JD. JD Hill, I friended you on Facebook.
Awesome.
So tell everybody where you're from and how they can contact you.
I'm from Minnesota, and you can contact me at recycledcity.com or facebook.com/recycledcity or on Instagram at recycledcityphx.
Right on. Lots of places to get in touch with you. Do you have, like, pictures of, like, things decomposing on your Instagram account? Is that what that is?
Yeah.
He's a cutie. I think JD's a keeper. Okay, go ahead, Kurt. Because this is where we're testing you as to whether or not we're going to keep you.
Everything is in its inception, but my Facebook page will be repurposed. But currently, Aguanata Gardens will be changing the name to Phoenix Greens, and we'll be talking about volunteer opportunities. We'll be talking about CSA pickup points. We'll be talking about bicycle composting in neighborhoods.
Okay.
But Aguanata Gardens on Facebook.
Feels like you're at the Oscars. I'm like moving people on. The music's coming
wrap
on in the
up,
background.
People,
Let's
wrap
go!
It up.
Hold off.
Peyton Curry.
Peyton Curry of Peyton Curry. You can reach me on Twitter at Peyton Curry. Imagine that. No, it's just at Peyton Curry. Imagine that's for later. Get out there. Do some research on cannabis. And, you know, eat your vegetables, as your mom always said.
Okay, we will, and I'm going to start getting them from some of you guys because that's a dang good carrot. And I've got Tonopah Rob, too, so I've got both sides of the city. Wow, it's going to be a lot of fiber. what do you want to wrap up, or am I good? Should I talk more?
I think you're good.
Am I good?
And I need to join a CSA down here. I'm inspired.
Yep.
Like, I have,
I know, I
have
I
so
too.
Many plans right now.
I know. I've actually done it for the last couple of weeks, and it's challenging from a culinary perspective, definitely.
It's like a market basket competition.
It's with yourself. Thank you guys so very much. We hit the
really
three E's. That was an amazing show. Yeah, I'm tickled. That was great, and
well,
I learned a lot.
We added the endocannabinoid system.
Oh, that's right. I don't think I'm going to be able to spell that, and I'm not going to Google it and go back. I want everybody to know we will be airing live at Devour next Saturday. Chef Jared Porter is in the lineup. He's from Clever Koi and The Parlor, and so we are very looking forward to that. We might just be like, you know, hooking people like a kiosk. You want to be on the show? Because he's the only taker I got. Anyway, thank you, Emily King.
You're welcome, Heidi Lee.
That was great.
That was fantastic. My little brain is overflowing.
I know. That was really great. And I love what I do, so take care of each other and take care of yourself. It's Heidi Lee.
Attack, I feel scared. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
I feel like I'm choking.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
You know how to react to their asthma attacks. Here's how to prevent them. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.